water sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. Will you sing one of those verses?
Father, I see that you draw a line in the sand. I want to be standing by your side, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come. Let it live in me. This is my prayer. This is my plea.
Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King.
Father, I hear it growing louder, the song of your redeemed, as the saints of every nation are awakening to sing. From our hearts there comes an anthem. Oh, hear our praises ring. This is a song to the King. Let the worshipers arise.
Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my. To him tonight. Amen. Somebody ought to testify. Can you pull that song up? We add a song here tonight, and you'll hear why in just a second. Several prayer requests that we'll go over with you. Brother Jerry Glenn requests prayer for our son-in-law, Scott Malden. He has a serious disc problem in his neck that could cause him to become quadriplegic. They're doing surgery on him a week from tomorrow. Please pray for complete healing. So let's remember that very serious need tonight. But Jonathan Baker turns in a prayer request for his parents, both homesick tonight, thanking the Lord in advance for their healing. Also, please pray for Sister Sarah Cobb, suffering from the abscess tooth. Specialist can't see her for 2 weeks, so let's remember that situation. Sister Linda Kreger and Mom and Timmy, all sick tonight. Let's remember them. Please pray for Sister Ann Nestor, who has flu-like symptoms. Also pray for income possibilities. Please pray for Sister Judy Dyer, dizzy, nauseated. Brother Dan turns that in tonight. Also, please help me pray for a special friend who's having to take some tests that may be life-changing for his whole family. Whatever the outcome, we only want God's perfect will and peace for the whole family. That's from Sister Teresa White. Sister Ruth Louise Jacks called to request prayer. Her job situation, she's currently out of work, seeking the Lord's will concerning employment, and if she should relocate to another state or city concerning her financial needs. So let's remember that request. Brandy Anthem has a prayer request concerning some work issues. If we could stand tonight, and here in just a moment I'll ask Brother Terry to come over and pray over these requests. But first I'll read, this is from Sister Joanne Tessa. She wants to praise God. She's here in church tonight. And she said she wants to say that somebody ought to testify. Yesterday, she couldn't get out of her car. Her back and legs wouldn't straighten up all night and morning. She was in terrible pain. But she kept testifying, claiming her healing, and the pain is all gone. She's here to worship with us tonight. So. Somebody ought to testify. Somebody ought to testify. Oh God, I'll live. Oh God, I'll die. Somebody ought to testify. Somebody ought to testify. Ooh, ooh. Oh, somebody ought to testify. Oh God, I'll live. Oh God, I'll die.
say the lions were made pillows for my head to lay.
Somebody ought to testify. Testify. Oh God, I will die. Somebody ought to testify. Somebody ought to testify. Somebody ought to testify. Oh God, I believe. Oh God, I will die. Somebody ought to testify.
Every time a sister goes to Walmart or to Ingles or to wherever they go, it's a testimony. Their long hair and their long skirts and their dress that's very, very modest, that's a testimony. They don't even have to preach a sermon. All they got to do is just go out in public. It's a testimony. Brother Branham said they won't read their Bible, but they will read your life. Same thing with the men. You live a godly life. You dress right. You look right. You talk right. You spit right. You act right. That's a testimony. Every many people that's in the building tonight, every time you're out in public, it's a testimony. Oh, thank God. We all can testify. The life that we live is a testimony to this Laodicean age. Lord Jesus, as we come before you tonight, we're so thankful, Lord, that we can live a life that's worthy of the gospel. Not anything that we did or anything that we could do. Nothing within us, because you put it all there. It's been you. It's your word. It's your love. It's your life. It's your anointing. It's your grace. It's your input. It's all that's in you, you've given to us. All that God was, He poured into Christ. All Christ was, He poured into the bride. Lord, we're just beginning to really recognize who we are. Oh, God, we just thank you. I'm just still feeding on the Sunday morning sermon. The Master has come and He calleth for you. What a wonderful revelation of a parallel of the rapture and the resurrection of Lazarus. What a masterpiece, Brother David Priest. And we just pray, Lord, for our pastor tonight as he brings us to the Word of the Lord. I pray that you'll anoint him to speak. May we pull on the gift. Each one of these requests, Lord, I ask that you'd, Brother Jerry Glenn, his son, you know the need there, surgery in a couple of weeks, Lord. I pray that you'd undertake that behalf. Many are sick, the flu, cold, sicknesses during this winter time. It's almost spring, Lord, but it may be a resurrection spring, maybe an earthquake spring. We don't know what it's going to be, but we're excited about what you're doing, what you are doing right now, today, each day of our lives. We're just happy to be Christians, part of the bride of Christ. Happy to be in church. We're so glad we get to go to church one more time. The doors are still open. We still have the privilege to worship you in spirit and in truth according to dictates of our heart. Each one of these requests, Lord, I hold in my hand. They're all worthy requests, some serious, some not so serious, but they're all important to you. May you undertake on behalf of each one. Anoint Brother Donnie to speak and us to hear. And we'll be happy to be in the church tonight. We'll give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Terry. You can be seated tonight.
Well, my boat of life sails on a troubled sea. Whenever there's a wind in my sail, but I have a friend and he's watching over me. When the breeze turns into a gale, I know the Master of the wind. I know the Maker of the rain. He can calm the storm, make the sun shine again. I know the Master of the wind. Sometimes I soar like an eagle through the sky. Above the peaks my soul can be found. An unexpected storm may drive me from the heights. It may bring me low, but it'll never bring me down.
If you know him, raise your hands to him tonight.
I know the Master of the wind. I know the master of. Well, let's sing that chorus together again. I know the master of.
Thankful for that tonight. If the brothers would like to come lift the evening offering tonight. You know, we typically don't announce birthdays for people, you know, that we have a place to put those up and they can go on the board. But this ain't a people tonight. This is a pillar. Brother Calvin Ward, a pillar of this church. We love Brother Calvin so very much. 90 years old today. I've just always known Brother Calvin. I don't know, since I've been born, I've went to church with Brother Calvin, and he's a saint. That's the salt of the earth, and we get to go to heaven with people like Brother Calvin. That's a real treat for us. So happy birthday, Brother Calvin, Sister Ruth. We love y'all. Let's sing F minor, sing like David sang.
When the Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart, I will sing like David sang. When the Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart, I will sing like David said. And I will sing, I'm gonna sing like David said. I will sing, I'm gonna sing like David said. Of the Lord falls upon my heart, I will pray like Daniel prayed. Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart, I will pray like Daniel prayed. I will pray.
Has a song for us tonight, so let's enjoy that.
For anyone who's ever seen the mountain of their sin just disappear. For anyone who's ever felt the hand of heaven reach down through their fears and dry their tears. For anyone, life's empty, and all finds itself alive and full of song, victory song. Then you'll understand the reason for the way the saints of God may carry on. Moving on through troubled days. For anyone who knows they've got a hope and a future beyond the grave. Every life's a different story, how we brought us out of darkness into
and gets ready to come. Let's sing, I Want to Know How It Feels.
Well, I want to know how it feels to make my way down the streets of gold. I want to know how it feels to have a talk with the saints of gold. Thank you.
my mama and daddy talked about going home since I was just a babe on their knee. They said that nothing compared to what was waiting up there, how one day we would finally be free. Well, I've never seen it, but keep on believing it'll be a place like I've never known. I keep my eyes on the sky, my soul wants to fly. Lord, my heart is ready to go. I wanna know how it feels to make my way down the streets of gold. I wanna know how it feels to have a talk with the saints of old.
I've heard of heaven, I know it's real. I wanna know how it feels. Praise be to God. And we're closer than we've ever been before. Amen. Think of it. No doubt there's people standing right here tonight that'll never die. I heard Brother Calvin had a birthday today, 90 years old. Think of it. He might be living when the rapture takes place. Because it could come before the end of this week. Oh, Brother Donnie, you don't think it's that close? I do. There are things that are happening every day around this world, friends. We better be ready every hour. If you're playing church, you better stop playing and get real. Amen. Acts chapter 22, verse 6. I'm just happy to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Heard y'all had some wonderful services with Brother David this past weekend. Praise the Lord for that. Acts chapter 22, verse 6. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth. Turned back to the pillar of fire, gone to heaven, now residing in paradise. And he still claims the earthly title, Jesus of Nazareth. Whom thou persecutest. They that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake unto me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. Let's bow our heads together. And we'd like to be remembered before the Lord tonight. Amen. Lord Jesus, we so love you tonight, Father. Dear God, how many times have we gathered together, stood in your presence, Lord, sang and made melody in our hearts to you. And to think, Lord, that we are so close to the end, tonight could be the very last night that we ever meet in church like this again. So there's one thing we know for sure. We want to do our very best while we're in this service tonight for the kingdom of God. For we know, Lord, that you will require of us one day when we stand before you. The bride will not be judged, of course, in the sense of judgment. But we will give an account, which is a different thing than being judged. And when we do give account, we want to answer, Lord, with truth and modesty and purity, and feel like that we render to you everything that we could within our limited ability. Father God, I pray that we would look at every day that way, every service that way, every singer, every musician, every preacher, every child of God, that we do the very best that we can. And then at the end of that day, before we close our eyes, we ask you to settle our debts. If there's any shortcomings or any failures that we have before we doze off into sleep, Lord God, we're so grateful that you understand that as mortals, when we've done our best, Lord, it seems so small, yet we can have an account settling before there's a new day that dawns. Speak to us tonight, Father, from your word, I pray, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. We'd like to resume tonight on our setting with Paul here in the book of Acts. I want to say we're certainly glad to have Brother Andrew visiting with us tonight and being in the service with us. You know, there's one thing that I've noticed in looking in the book of Acts, that the book of Acts records healings, miracles, signs, wonders, yet it also records church problems. It records political problems. It records all kinds of various situations that was existing in time, and all kinds of troubles and problems that the church was dealing with. Now tonight we're going to see the book of Acts with a little bit of a different angle. I think sometimes that as the Spirit of God molds and shapes our lives, that we're looking for God to appear in always means that are supernatural. But sometimes God takes the natural and makes it super. Sometimes God takes natural things around us and will turn those things and make those things blend into His perfect will. As we looked at Paul last week, now that Paul has taken the stand and he's trying to witness now to his brethren, his Hebrew brethren, and he's by the Spirit of God going to, in a very thought through way, try to present to them the truth. Now keep in mind, when a preacher preaches, even though you may not see results, it does not mean results have not been accomplished, and that things both positive and negative have come out of that sermon. Now this is going to be the same way and what we're going to catch with Paul here tonight. No doubt some of these people, this was the only time they would ever hear the truth brought in such a balanced way in the gospel under this new dispensation. We have no record, none of them repented. We have no record, none of them even later gave their heart to God, but it does not mean that they didn't. Paul is now sowing seed. But remember, preaching the truth doesn't always bring, as we'd say, positive results, because sometimes preaching the truth must bring negative results as well, in the sense that it will force people to cross the line and they'll never hear it again. And that is part of preaching the truth. Part of preaching the truth isn't always, well, we had so many people to come to the altar, so many people raise their hand and give God. We prefer that type of result, but that's not always the result the gospel brings. So here in this situation, to me, God gave Paul a real unique opportunity. Now watch Paul as he's going to relate to the people here in verse 6. And it came to pass as I made my journey. Now he's almost to the end of it. He's about a mile actually out of Damascus, which is in Syria. So he's about a mile out of the city. So he's getting really, really close. Now the Lord is timing this exactly right. Now Paul doesn't mention it in the first occasion when this is written by Luke, but here he mentions it for the emphasis not so much of time, but for the emphasis of the brilliance of the light. Now he tells us how that it appeared to him, and he says, it came to pass as I made my journey and was came nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone shone from heaven a great light round about me. Now remember, this is noon. So the sun pretty much in that latitude and longitude would have been pretty much in its prime or its strength. And God chose that particular time. So here is the sun out in Syria. I don't know if you've ever been there or not. But for much of it, there's not many trees. There's not a lot of things that would obstruct the sun the way we have here. So it's pretty much a circumference from the east to the west that you could be able to see the sun in full view. So the sun would have been very, very bright. A lot of rocks, a lot of sand. There would not have been a lot of things that would have struck it. And you would have seen it in pretty bright brilliance on its own. But the Lord Jesus chose when the sun was at about noontime. And here comes this light out of heaven. Where was the sun at? The sun was out of heaven as well. But here was a light that made the sun fade away because of its brilliance and its brightness. And it was so bright. Now, Paul had seen this same sun in Palestine, and he was raised in a similar place, but this had never happened to him before. So here comes a light which makes the sun look pretty dim. I'll tell you, if you ever see Jesus right, he'll make everything look dim in your life too. And that's the real problem with a lot of folks today. Their love problem is because they don't love the Lord. It's exactly right. If you're competing and comparing Jesus and the world and Jesus and smoking and Jesus and this, you've never seen him at noontime. If you ever see him, nothing will ever compare again. Mama, daddy, brother, sister, it don't matter the difference who it is. Nobody will ever stand in your way if you ever see him like this. Now, notice he says, suddenly there's shone from heaven a great light round about me. Now, it's there, and these men that are with him, they know that something is happening, and they become very afraid, no doubt, as Paul himself does. And he said, I fell unto the ground, and I heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now, once you notice that Paul now renders his conversion. Now, remember, he's talking to people who are zealots. They are zealous for the law, and they believe that Paul is off the word. They believe Christianity is off the word. So Paul is going to now convey to them, I did not become a Christian because these Christians taught me into it. I was converted because a bright angelic light appeared to me. That's the way I got my conversion. Well, let me just join with Paul. I never saw a great bright light as it was at the noonday. I didn't become a Christian because my mama taught me into it. I didn't become a Christian because my daddy taught me into it. I became a Christian because God taught me into it. And that's why no devil or nobody else can talk me out. And it's the same way, may I say, it's the same way I come into this message. I didn't come into this message because my mama believed it, because she didn't. Because my daddy believed it, because he didn't. I wasn't convinced because a message preacher come to my church down in Kentucky and preached it, and I got mad at him, and I took my Bible, and I was going to prove that he was wrong. And here's the results. So I took my Bible to prove that he was wrong, and I read myself right in the middle of it. Amen. So it was against my better judgment. It was against my own understanding. It was against my opinion and my view, but it wasn't against my seed. Amen. It was not against my seed because it was who I was, and it just took me that long to find out who I really, really was. Now, Paul is going to relate to them, look, this is what converted me. It was not some of these people that taught me into it, but it was this bright pillar of fire. Now, remember the way he uses his words. Now, to us, we don't think that much about it. But notice in the way that he's using these words. Now, Paul's a very smart man. You know, this is one thing I've learned, Brother Darrell, in studying the book of Acts. That it's not just about signs and wonders and miracles, but it is about the wisdom of God anointing us when we are facing dire desperation and real difficult situations. That the Spirit of God can give us wisdom, even at time, to use the law of the land to our favor. That is also the book of Acts. Now, notice this. He said, suddenly there shone from around me a great light. And then he says, I fell unto the ground, and I heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul. Now, he knows from their knowledge of being Jews that many times the Old Testament pattern was that when God would call an individual, he would repeat their name or say it in a double phrase, Abraham, Abraham, or Jacob, Jacob. Now, notice how Paul, to us as English-speaking people, it don't really mean nothing to us. But now watch what he's doing. He's catching their attention. They're sitting there listening to every word. Now remember, they're critics. They don't believe what he has to say. So they're listening for every word, how they can trip him up. Now listen how quiet that they are. This within itself to me is a miracle. I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now watch what he's going to do. It is the stand of the Jewish church. It is the stand of the rabbis, of the priests, that Jesus was dead and that Jesus' body had actually been stolen. So how is Paul going to be able to relate this? Now listen, I fell into the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? I love the way Brother Raymond said this, and Paul a prisoner. What a surprise it must have been to this theologian to say, I'm Jesus. The very one that he was so against. What a turnaround. Oh my. What it must have been, something terrific for this man, that all of his ambitions that he had to find out all at once, he had been persecuting. His ambitions had drove him to farther away from the main thing that he meant to do. What a great shock it must have been for this apostle when he said, I am Jesus, the very one he was persecuting. Why persecutest thou me? But yet Paul had never actually seen Jesus in his bridegroom form. He was persecuting Jesus in his bride form. Praise the Lord. But yet Jesus took it as if though he was the one being beaten. He was the one being thrown in jail. He was the one that was being slain, because it was Jesus in his body. Another little quotation we might drop in here, Brother Ram says, as they make fun of the church, they're not really making fun of the church. They are making fun of Jesus. Now let me go on to say, there's such an onslaught right now against the ministry around this message. And sad to say, it's coming from folks who say they believe the message. But let me just make it real clear tonight. For those folks who say they believe the message and they make fun of God's call ministry, you're not making fun of Andrew, Daryl, Terry, Donnie, or whoever more preachers. You are making fun of Jesus Christ himself. Because it is Jesus who put gifts in the lives of men. Praise the Lord. That's exactly right. So you're not making fun of me. Don't think that, oh my, it's because your job's at stake. My job has nothing to do with it. It is your soul. I'm concerned about your soul, not my job. My job is secure your soul, ain't it, if you're laughing at the word. Now watch, so Brother Branham identifies here of what that Paul was actually doing. He said, when they're really making fun of the church, they're making fun of Jesus. Why persecutest thou me? How could Paul then, with all of his intellect, believe that this group that he was persecuting was the very God? Amen. This group was the very God. The very God that he claimed to be serving. Oh, that's quite difficult to swallow. Take your hands and do like this. It helps it to go down easier. This group that he was persecuting was the very God. Was their flesh God? Of course not. But it was God inside of their flesh. And when he was persecuting the church, he was persecuting God himself. And may I say, and quote the prophet in saying so, elect do not persecute elect. Amen. Notice now, Acts chapter 22, verse 8. And I said, who art thou, Lord? Now remember who he's preaching this to. Jews, which hated Jesus. Amen. Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth. Oh my, my. Now watch. They don't revolt. They don't break out in screams and hollers. To me, this is a miracle that God was able to hold them down long enough for the truth to come about a few more minutes anyway. Now, you would think for those who hated Jesus and believed that Jesus was no more than a man, now they already have in their mind what Paul is conveying, that Jesus was that pillar of fire. So this light appears, and out of this light, so that would have been making it similar to what Paul saw, or Moses rather, on the backside of the desert. I am that I am. But now notice, they don't revolt, they don't scream, they don't holler. Oh my. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. Now it shone about them as well, but they did not hear the voice. Now notice, they that were with me saw the light indeed. Now they heard the voice of Saul, and they did not hear the voice of Christ. Let me make this clear to you. At least in a term by which they could understand what was being said. Now watch in Acts chapter 9 when this is recorded. And the men which journeyed with me stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. But now here in Acts chapter 22, when Paul says it, he said they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. Now wait a minute, we've got a problem here. Because one place in the Bible describing the same instance says that they heard the voice, and then another place says they didn't hear the voice. That's not a problem. People can hear the voice and still not hear the voice. People play Brother Branham every day of their life and still don't hear the voice of God, because they think the voice of God is Brother Branham's literal voice. It's the voice behind the voice that is the voice of God. Praise the Lord. Brother Branham's literal voice was not the literal voice of God. Brother Branham's voice box, his vocal cords, was not the literal voice of God. Yet the voice of God is on the tapes. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to go ahead one further. You're hearing the voice of God right here tonight. But it don't mean everything that I say is the voice of God, because I'm a human, like Brother Branham was, like Paul was, like Peter was, like every other one. But yet the voice of God is there. What is it? The voice of many waters that has been thundering down through time. So it is possible then that a person could hear a voice and not recognize what the voice is saying, and could be said, you're not hearing the voice. Can you imagine, for the judgment of those who play tapes every day of their life, and that's basically all they believe in, and they'll stand before God and they've heard only God knows how many tapes, and God will say to them, you never heard the tape. I said, God, what are you talking about, God? I heard tapes every day. God said, no, you never really heard one of them. You never heard one, because every one you heard, you pulled it through a filter, and that filter prohibited you from hearing the truth. That's why you didn't live right. That's why you never got rid of your television. That's why, come on now, church, don't get quiet on me. That's why you didn't believe in preachers. That's why you didn't go to church. That's why you ran down my servants, because you heard the tape, but you never heard me. It's the same way with hearing me tonight. Folks, you can sit here and hear me, but you got to go beyond me and hear him. If that's all you hear out of this service is me, you ain't going to get nothing out of it. Oh, my. Notice then, the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Acts 22:9, they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. So a person could hear the voice and still not hear the voice. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. But it's evident everybody that comes to church don't hear what the Spirit says to the church. Now watch in verse 10. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me. Now notice, this voice tamed this man. Now if people are really hearing the voice of God, it will turn them from being a heathen to being a filled Christian with the Holy Ghost. Now remember, this man didn't hear 37 sermons. He wasn't sitting in church 45 years. But he hears this voice and sees this light, and it changes him. Amen. And you're going to tell me you hear the voice of God every day and run your mouth and run people down and live every kind of way? I don't care what you say. You are not hearing the voice of God. You're hearing Brother Ram's voice or my voice or some other man's voice. But if you ever hear the voice of God and it gets in the right place, brother, it will change you. It will change you from being a persecutor of the church of the living God to becoming a member of that church. That's what it done to this man. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The voice of God tamed him. The voice of God changed him. The light of God totally turned this man around in a matter of seconds, Brother Derek. My, notice in verse 11, and when I could not see for the glory of that light. My, what a brightness it must have been. What a dazzling, oh my, my. And that great emphatic presence of the Almighty God as it come down. Now remember, the sun is shining as bright as it could in the Syrian sky. And yet here was a light that was so bright that it put Paul out. As a matter of fact, the rest of his life, he would deal with this visitation. You imagine he'd trade it all out, no more so than Jacob as he limped the rest of his life. Said, glory to God. Well, oh man, what in the world happened to you, buddy? A log roll off on you, hit you, you jump off a building somewhere. No, I got in a wrestling match with God. Which one won? I did. Hallelujah, I got my name changed. I've got a sign. Boy, God can lay the whip on you when he wants to, but I got my name changed. I got my nature changed because I told God, I ain't letting you go, Lord, until you change. Lord, children, I think that's what we need to do sometimes. Break out of our comfort zone. Break out of our mold and don't act like a Christian and raise our hand halfway up. God, you, I ain't leaving this place till you change me. God, I ain't leaving here till you heal me. God, I ain't letting go till you totally deliver me. I refuse to accept this disease. I refuse to accept this sickness. I refuse to be bound by this besetting sin. Lord Jesus, I am letting you go. I'm holding on to you, Lord, till you heal me. I wish somebody would preach with me. I'm holding on, Lord, till you deliver me and set me free. When I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me. So Paul gets thrown from his high horse and walks the rest of the way in. Now you imagine he had a fine steed. Boy, he'd come, oh man alive, look at that thing. The horse had an air, Paul had an air, and God had some air. And God's going to throw him up in his air and turn him every way but loose and land him flat of his back where he can't see. And then he's going to walk different. What a changed man. A man that was arrogant and proud and riding this big horse. Here you go. Where'd you say we're supposed to go? That voice said, the street which is called straight. And he'll be told me. What am I supposed to do? Which would you rather be? Which would you rather be, riding your great fine high, your horse of your pride, or being led by some man? Being led by some man, and you're willing to submit. Now this is the great, 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 great man who's got papers in his pocket and all that, but look at him now. Hallelujah. He's been led by some man where? To a street called straight. And they ain't gonna give the man a book or a tape when he arrives, but the seed must pass through the body. And God goes to dealing with a member, a preacher that has the Holy Ghost and the seed life. And he said, you go down there. He said, Lord, I heard about that man. He said, yeah, but he's praying. Amen. There you go, brother. He prayeth. Don't worry about him, Ananias. Go down there and tell him what great things he's gonna suffer for my name. Oh my. Hallelujah to God. And when I could not see for the glory of that light being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. So I imagine his demeanor, his attitude. He probably was crying and snuffing and sniffling and carrying on. So look at that poor guy. Reckon what in the world happened to him? There would nobody believe it. No way. He didn't even tell it. Just go on. Poor guy. Was he born that way? Well, sort of. He was reborn when it hit him. Glory! He was reborn. Well, poor old guy, poor old guy. So here comes these guys. I said, can you tell us where's the street called straight? Well, you go down Justification Avenue, and then you make a right on Sanctification Avenue. And then right there around that corner, there's a tight turn. Go down through the power of the Holy Ghost, and you'll come to a street called straight. But you got to be willing to take instructions. Unless, of course, you think you know the way on your own. A lot of folks are so spiritual in this day, they got a spiritual GPS built in, and they don't need guides and shepherds. Them ain't sheep, them's goats. Praise the Lord. Sheep come without a GPS. They need to be led. Now notice this. The hand of them were with me. I came into Damascus. And one, Ananias, a devout man. Now watch Paul's terms. A devout man according to... So this is the book of Acts 2. When convenient, and when you can find a use for it, you can use associations. There's no need to say this if you're preaching to Gentiles. It don't make no difference to them. But these are Jews. Now watch how Paul picks these things. What for? He's trying to become a Jew to the Jews that he might win a Jew. One, Ananias, a devout man. Now notice it and say, filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, shouts, speaks in tongues, runs, dances, shouts, jumps and preaches and hollers. He's preaching to Jews. His congregation is Jews. So he says, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all Jews. So this is the book of Acts. Praise the Lord. The Holy Ghost then can lead us in situations like this. And you wouldn't say, well, he's baptizing Gentiles. Oh, don't say that word. Oh, he laid aside the law. He didn't even come to the temple no more. Now, that was probably the truth. But this is not the place for it. Now, some of you have been sitting there. I wonder if you'd have made him a compromiser. Why? Because you don't understand. Well, hallelujah. Now watch. One, Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews that dwelt at Damascus. Now notice Paul doesn't say he's a Christian. But that goes without saying if you're a Christian. That's why when I preach funerals sometimes and you all sit there and listen, y'all are so blessed. You enjoy this, that, and other. Other people sitting there have no idea what we're even talking about. And I'll look at you and you'll look at me. I don't need to stand up here. The prophet said, page so-and-so, paragraph so-and-so. They wouldn't understand what I'm talking about anyhow. But I can preach them right down into the sixth dimension, preach them straight down the streets of gold, preach the message of the hour, amen, and go right down through the... Is that the truth? Not just maybe any other preacher that's talking to the same thing, and bring it in such a way that people sat there astounded by and think, my Lord, and you're sitting there and say, amen, amen, hallelujah, you're preaching my language, Brother Donnie. Why? That is part of the Holy Ghost. That's what the Holy Ghost endows us to do. But some preachers feel like unless they come to the pulpit, oh my, preacher funeral, I was at one some years ago, and a man preaching the funeral brought a whole big stack of message books to the funeral home, and I sat behind people sitting there watching, and he went to this page and that book and that book and that book, people getting up and leaving, sitting there making fun of him, laughing. I thought, how sad. What a sad thing. It don't have to be done that way, brother. It don't have to be done. Paul isn't saying, bless God, I'll tell you one thing, he got the Holy Ghost, he was baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. But he says, just in case y'all are wondering, he used to be a Pentecostal. Oh, wow. So he believes in the Holy Ghost. Yes. I've heard people in the airports before, you know, apostolics talking about being baptized in Jesus' name. And I use that little hook. I say, I'm baptized in Jesus' name too. Oh, yes, flying out west, seeing the LDS saints, you know, with their elder signs and all that. I got around a whole bunch of them one time. I just chose to sit right down amongst them where they were. And they were discussing their missionary outfits, and I pull out a seven-seal book, and I'm just hoping somebody's going to ask me something. So they come over and say, honey, me, what are you? You're a Christian? I said, yes, I'm a Christian. Well, what do you think about the Bible? Well, I read the Bible. I couldn't really say that I'm a scholar per se, but I do enjoy reading. I thought, come on, buddy, let me bait you a little more. Amen. When I lived over where Hank Cannon lives, there's some Jehovah Witnesses that used to come to and knock on my door. My love talking to them folks. I had them in one time and I had them to sit down and say, hey, let me play you what a real prophet of God is. I done had this section found and I kept it for one discernment after another, after another, after another, after another. I said, now this is what the Bible says a true prophet of God will do. They look at one another and said, we'll come back next week. Can we bring the elder with us or bring him on? Come on, saints. The Holy Ghost don't just perform signs and wonders and miracles. He anoints us to say things. Sometimes it's things to shut people up. Sometimes it's things to open people's hearts. That's why you never know. You have to follow him every day. Something that worked last week might not work this week. Now watch this. One Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of the Jews, which dwell there. Now what do you say we parallel some of these instances here? Let's look in Acts chapter 9, verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, had appeared to thee in the way, as thou camest, hast sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now this is Paul's account of it. Came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked upon him. Oh no. Oh my goodness. Well, isn't this a word for word for word a repeating of the account? It's not. And you see, this is where some of these folks who left the message and do the same thing to the prophet of God, they might ought to read their Bible first and get an understanding before they go to attacking a prophet, which does basically the same way the Bible does. Now, whenever Luke writes it down, now Paul is giving the personal account. Brother Dowd, it's not intended to be a word by word by word by word. Remember, he's relating the contents of the same story, but before a different crowd. Now, can you imagine if it would have been a first century message group of people? He would have emphasized more about Jesus. He would have emphasized more about Ananias being filled with the Holy Ghost. Ananias being baptized in Jesus' name. But he's presenting the same message, but with this in mind, that is among a bunch of people who do not believe that Jesus was the Savior. Well, maybe the prophet of God's repeating of his stories can be exactly the same way. Well, over here he said this, and over here he said that. And besides all of that, he was a human. And despite some of you all thinking maybe you got 100% recall where you can tell a story the same way, identical for 37,389 times, I doubt that very much. I doubt there's a person here who can tell the same story three times, word for word for word, identical, without forgetting it or leaving something out or embellishing it somewhat because we're liars. No, because we just do not remember exactly the way we said it before. Come on now. And it's the same way when Paul would tell his story. It was the same way when the prophet of God would tell his stories. He's not trying to add. He's not trying to take away. He's not trying to deceive nobody. He was a human. Oh my. Now notice, now whenever Luke writes it here in chapter 9, and then the first-hand account that Paul gives to us in chapter 22, and he says, he come unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. Yet in chapter 9, it says, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus. Wonder why he conveniently leaves out Jesus. Hello. Testing 1, 2, 3. And the same hour I looked upon him. Verse 14. And he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou should know his will. Now notice again, the God of our fathers. This is Old Testament terminology. He's quoting now from the Old Testament something that would appeal to these Jews. The God of our fathers. Now he's introducing. Now remember that Jesus is not a second God or a secondary God, but the God of our fathers. That Jesus is actually the God of our fathers, but he doesn't say his name. but the elect knew who it was. The God of our fathers hath chosen thee. Now remember, this is a very common belief and understanding among them, that God could choose certain people. And that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one, notice, no name, that just one, and should hear the voice of his mouth. Oh my. Hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men. But notice now, no reference is made to Jesus. Father, the God of our fathers, the just one, Old Testament terminology, and the Lord, Old Testament terminology, Adonai. This is the book of Acts. A real God called message preacher could preach to Donald J. Trump and the missus and their kids and everybody in the White House, and he could stand there and preach to them the message of the hour. And if you would be sitting there, you would think, wow, that's Brother Daryl, that's Brother Andrew, that's Brother Donnie. He don't preach that way in our church. Of course not. You are not Donald Trump. You are a people who are trained to hear it. A God called man could stand before the Senate or before Congress or before a lawyer or a judge, and the Spirit of God could take that man and astound educated, smart men. But would it sound exactly the way you did it? Probably not. Why? Because God favors you with language which is common to our kind. Oh, glory to God. God favors you with language which is common. Look what God is doing to them. God is moving this prophet around and moving in such a way that it'll try to grab a hold of a seed, grab a hold of one here and there and there. He's fixing to drop the bomb on him now in a few minutes. He only knows he's got a little bit of time. If he'd been saying the same sermon, took the same text and called it the same thing and preached it in a message church, it'd have sounded totally different. Oh, don't you love the Lord? Don't you love the diversity that God puts in ministers to be able to do such a thing? The God of our fathers has chosen thee. But now notice what Jesus says to Ananias in chapter 9, verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. Now listen, the way that Paul relates it in verse 14, he says like that Ananias says this. The God of our fathers. But actually, if you look at it in your red letter edition of your Bible, these are the words of Jesus. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way. He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Wonder why Paul left out that. Now, some of the Believe the Sign folks and some of these apologetic people would have been sitting there and said, I found one. Children, can you imagine every day in your life, these folks that have left this message, getting up, listening to tapes, studying the message to look for mistakes and errors. If they would have studied it that intently when they're in it, they don't tell what they're doing. Many of them have studied it now, but it's getting more than they got out than when they're ever in it. Praise the Lord. To look for faults and shortcomings. Sure, it's going to be in there. It's a human being. And things are going to be said that you're not going to understand. Don't you sit there and look at me and tell me that you understand this perfectly, because you don't. You've got that deer in the headlight look. Most of you do. Oh, my. Notice now, the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name. Uh-oh. To bear my name. But notice now, Jesus is speaking to Ananias in bridegroom terms. But Paul, when he relates the message, it is of a messenger which knows what he's talking about to people who do not understand. So he rewords it so that it's not bride and bridegroom language. It's to foolish virgins and whosoever will and so on and so on. Oh, praise God. Oh, thank you, Lord. I've had people ask me before, Brother Don, do you speak more than more language? I've had to tell them, no, I don't really speak English very good. But I, to be honest, I do speak more than one language. I preach bride talk. But I can also preach whosoever will talk. When I've been to prisons and jails and all that, I can preach sermons that's not bride talk at all. Come right down to their level and preach it as if though they'd never heard the gospel in their entire life. These brothers here that have outreach meetings, wherever it is that they have them, they can go there and set up a tent or a brush harbor. They can go right there and preach and come right down to such a level as if though you'd never even think they knew one thing about the message. Don't you understand? That's the multi-aspect that is wound up in a man's gift, because God will call him in different aspects to reach different types of people. And if it's in him, that gift will be anointed for that situation, and he'll have the ability, he will have the ability to stand right there in a brush harbor and preach Jesus so real and so divine that sinners will come running up and give their heart to God, leave right there and go preach in a message church the next time and sit there and astound people who've been around the word for years and years. If they would have heard him the night before, they'd probably said, I can't even believe it's the same guy. It is the same guy. It's the diversification of the gift that comes from God. You imagine Brother Branham able to stand and bring the mysteries to us that he did, and yet he would go out and preach in full gospel businessmen's meetings and preach in Assembly of God churches and Pentecostal churches. Is this right? And yet, in a sense, he would come, people say, he was a compromiser. He wasn't no compromiser. He was trying to reach those people. He was preaching foolish virgin talk. He was preaching whosoever will talk. But when the group would get together, they'd talk bride talk. Oh, hallelujah. He'd talk bride talk. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my. Notice now Jesus talking. Go thy way, for he's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. But Paul mentions none of this. Amen. Yeah. Why? It ain't bride talk for them. Amen. Paul goes on to say, Acts 22:16, and now why tarriest thou? Now he's saying, Ananias says this, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. But is that actually what Ananias said? I'm so sorry y'all have never took these two chapters and compared them verse by verse. Acts 9:18, immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Oh my. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. Wash away thy sins. Now this is the way that Paul reiterates what's happened to them. Oh, Brother Donnie, I can't accept nothing that I can't understand. See you. Because you can't accept God. You can't accept salvation. You can't accept this. Oh, that hinders my faith. And then you didn't have very much faith after all. You had really good faith till I preached this to you tonight, and then now you ain't got no more faith. There's something wrong with your faith for tonight. Well, praise the Lord. Oh my, wash away thy sins. Oh goodness, how the single name Jesus only people used to love this. I know it used to be one of them. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. Wash away thy sins. Of course, you know the Church of Christ. They love this scripture for washing away your sins in water baptism. But to receive baptism is an expressive act or an outward act of something that has taken place on the inside. So you're not literally washing away your sins by water. It is signifying that your sins have been confessed. It is an outward confession to the church, to the group of believers that you are with. So it's an external rite of an internal something that has taken place on the inside. So washing away their sins was only them being baptized in water of what the blood had already done from the inside. Amen. Calling on the name of the Lord, or the proper tense here, is actually having called on the name of the Lord. Verse 17, and it came to pass, and when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple. Now watch, we move from Syria now, and we move back to Jerusalem. Now, Paul said, after this happened, I got converted and something changed me. I actually came back to the temple and I went to praying. Now, they're still quiet. Listen, they're still quiet and they're listening. When I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. Now, he does not mention this anywhere else in the scripture. And saw him saying unto me, notice, leaving out the name, saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. I saw him. Him who? Amen. The Lord Jesus. But he chooses not to say that. He wants a few more minutes. It's going to amaze you what finally sets him off. Glory. I saw him saying unto me. So the Lord Jesus appears to him. Make haste now. Here the Lord Jesus is telling Paul, make haste. Get out of here. They're not going to receive you. They'll not receive your testimony. And I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beaten every synagogue. Now notice, here is this Holy Ghost-filled man trying to argue, if you will, or trying to debate with the Lord Jesus. Jesus saying, get out of here, Paul. They're not going to receive what you've got to say. But now Paul said, now Lord, now wait a minute. These people know what I've done. They know that. Y'all ever been there and done that? Lord, now please, come on now, Lord. Let's work this out. Lord, you don't understand this, right? It ought to be this one, that one. Now look at Paul, a man filled with the Holy Ghost. A man filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Lord Jesus has appeared to him in a trance and told him, get out of here. And Paul is now saying, no, wait a minute, Lord. You know, they know, they understand. They understand that I fought this way and I was against this way. And if they see me being converted, it'll help them. Jesus said, get out of here. And I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. Men, women, children, can you imagine? He thought that the knowledge which the people had of him doing this would break away. But you know, it's always true. Jesus knows better than us. That ain't the problem. It's convincing us that he does. He already knows. He knows more than us, Brother Bert. But if he can just get us to see it. Oh, I know we say that he's all-knowing. We say that he's omnipotent. But when it comes right down to dealing with avenues in our life, we always want to argue with him. Oh, my. Come on, saints. Don't be quiet on me now. He says, I'm imprisoned and I beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I was also standing by. Now watch, he's bringing it down. He's getting closer. He's fixing to drop the bomb. Oh my. I consenting unto his death and kept the raiment of them that slew him. Now remember the Jews, no doubt they're getting antsy about right now. They're getting a little bit jittery and they find their fingers in the fist shape, you know. They're going, watch him now, watch him. He's fixing to say it. Now y'all remember Stephen. Oh y'all, you remember Stephen. Yeah, I remember Stephen. Hey, he died for that Jesus. What is that Jesus guy? Yeah, it's that Jesus guy. Look where he's going. Look where he's going with this now. I was standing by. I consented to his death. It pleased me to do it. Now, Paul thinks this is what's going to turn him around. Jesus said, it ain't going to move him. Get out of here. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence. Unto the Gentiles. So let's look at a few places that Jesus sent him. Put it up on the screen there for him, brothers. Judea, Phoenicia, Arabia, Syria, Cilicia, Pisidia, Laconia, Pamphylia, Galatia, Phrygia, Macedonia, Greece, Asia, the isles of the Mediterranean Sea, the isles of the Aegean Sea, Italy, and some add Spain and Britain to the same list. Jesus makes no mistakes. You see, when God calls a man, God opens the doors. A man don't have to do it himself. A man that has to make room for his gift, more than likely, is not called of God. A man who has to beg, buy, bum, borrow church doors to preach in. Or a man that has to try to make himself known in order to do it, more than likely he ain't called. This man is called of God. You believe that? Now, does it mean every man will have these doors? Of course not. But this is this man's capacity. Now watch, he's relating to them the trance, sang the Lord Adonai, sang the God of our fathers, and all this. I mean, you know, they're sitting there, they're wondering, what in the world is he going to? But all of a sudden, when he mentions you, the Gentiles, verse 22, and they gave him audience unto this word. Or in other words, until he said this one word. Jesus, they could handle, because after all, Jesus was a Jew in the way they looked at it. They could handle the trance. They could handle the vision. They could handle lots of what he said until he got to one word. I've been in them type of services before. I've been in service before and preaching. Actually, I was a preacher. Preaching quite a few words, and a lot of words flew out of my mouth until I said one or two words. And then one or two words got me thrown out. Or people shut down on you. My, y'all, you know what I'm talking about? Now notice, it comes unto this word. Then they lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth. It is not fit that he should live. For having a vision of Jesus? For meeting a light? For meeting a pillar of fire? That's not what they're saying. For saying God sent him to the Gentiles. When he said the word Gentiles, you're talking about racist people. These folks were so racist. They would sit there and hear the name of Jesus. Now, they didn't rebel. Even when his name was brought up and Jesus appeared to him in a vision, he was very delicate in the way that he brought it. But when he mentioned the Gentiles, Lord have mercy. When they mentioned the Gentiles, notice what happens to them. It's like it turns on an animal nature. Notice, and they gave him audience unto this word, Gentiles. And when he speaks the word Gentiles, they lifted up their voices. And the Greek here is a very loud and clamorous manner as one man. And said, away with such a fellow from the earth. So what is it? Now they want to kill him again, back to taking his life. For it is not fit that he should live. He does not deserve to live. He's not worthy to live by preaching to the Gentiles. This is the way you were thought of. Wonder if they really knew the truth about it now. We replaced them. They still think the Gentiles will be granted life if they're good to the Jews. Sorry, Jews. It's the other way around now. We're the bride. The Jews will never be the bride again as a nation. Come on, children. God has chosen you. Why? Because you're so good? Because you're so pretty? Grace. God's grace. Oh, my. As they cried out. Now listen. And cast off their clothes. And threw dust in the air. When they hear the Gentiles, they tear off their clothes and they grab dust and throw it up in the air. They're acting like an old bull. You better get out of the way, they're fixing the charge. Look at them. Look at these people, religious, and yet they're acting like wild maniacs. I'll tell you, friends, religion and demons, it's amazing how close they're tied together. Do you realize the majority of the worlds around the existence of the time of the earth that have been fought, many, many of those wars have been fought because of religion and religious beliefs? Look at where we are today with Islam and all these different things that are going on. What is it? It's based upon an ideology of religion. And may I say it's false. Come on now. Oh, but you can't blame them, really. When you read the Bible was written by Jews. The prophets were Hebrews. So the prophets wrote the Hebrew Bible. And most of the men in the New Testament were Jews, so they wrote the Jewish New Testament. So it don't look like Arabs have a chance. So what do they need? a new Bible. So the devil give them their own prophet and give them their own Bible. And in that Bible, they put down Isaac and raise up Ishmael. Well, hallelujah. Well, I hope you ain't too far asleep tonight, but you realize that's where a lot of the message folks are. They're spiritual sons of Ishmael. That's why they don't love their Bible. Their doctrines, many of them are based on quotes only. Well, I'm going to preach with or without you. Many of them cannot believe what they believe without quote, 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 quote. And I quote too, and I believe quotes, but the quotes I quote line up with Scripture. Because if I quote quotes and they don't line up with Scripture, not so much that there's anything wrong with the quote, it's the way that I put it together. Amen. A real prophet of God could not come and speak contrary to the written word of God. It doesn't make any sense. So what do they need? They need a new book. So they replace the Bible with a seal book, or replace the Bible with this book or that book. And now, well, the prophet said, the prophet said, well, I believe the prophet said too. I still quote my Bible. Well, come on now, don't get mad at me and get all quiet on me. It's absolutely the truth. Brother Branham never tells us to leave the Scripture. As a matter of fact, I heard him say it this week. Every doctrine should be able to be taken right back to the Word of God. Amen. Notice, and as they cried out, furious, so angry. Now this is the mob mentality now. And it's like an anointing that just hits them all. It ain't like one of them's going to Kmart and the other one's going to Target and the other one's going to Walmart and the other one's going here and there and there. It's like an anointing that hits them. And it's just like anger, just ah. And about all at the same time, they're going to turn their clothes off. My, Laodicea and shores of the world. That's what a lot of these folks have left the message done. They heard the truth and got mad and left and started turning their clothes off. And they threw dust in the air, but now they throw videos in the air. YouTube and wireless messages. I'm so free now. You can have that freedom. I said, you can have that freedom. Notice now, so they threw dust in the air. My Lord Jesus. Think of this. And the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle. I said, what kind of man is this? I thought he was an Egyptian, but he said he wasn't Egyptian because he could speak Greek. And he said that he was born from this certain place. I ain't never seen him. Now remember, this man probably doesn't understand Hebrew. He's more than likely a Syrian or something like that because he had to buy his liberty of being a Roman citizen. So more than likely he did not understand the Hebrew language. So Paul's standing here preaching in Hebrew and he's standing there listening. He don't know what the guy's saying. All he knows is he's just standing there watching everybody, and the centurions is watching. They're looking around. They can see by the expressions on the face of the people, this is fixing to be a mess. So he hears them, and my, here they come, and they go to tearing off their clothes. What's going on? That's exactly right. And the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging. Now what this means is they're going to tie him and they're going to beat him until he talks. But this is the book of Acts. And it paid off a few times in Paul's life to have Roman citizenship. Now, he's brought into the castle and begged that he should be examined or tested or tortured, basically, in order to tell the truth. We got to know what in the world's this guy done that we might know why they're crying out against him. And as they bound him with thongs, pieces of leather, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman? Amen. Now this ain't bride talk. It's Roman talk to a Roman. That's why I said, folks come in church and want to disturb church, we'll have you arrested. Why? That's the kind of talk we talk to that kind of people. We don't need to talk out to bride because they're going to get straightened out. But that if we need, we'll talk jail talk to jailbirds. Praise the Lord. That's exactly right. That's what he done here. Now think. Now, you know, wanting to be a martyr for Christ, wanting to suffer for the gospel, but my Lord, I mean, they don't even lose and hide unless you have to. I mean, if you can save yourself a beating, do it. Now, you know, he stands there, you know, and they're tying him up, and he just picks the right spot. So they've got his hands tied, and they had a big old long stake of a thing, is the way that they would do it. And they would tie their hands up over their head, and then they would start beating them and start whipping them. Well, Paul lets them, you know, go to this preparatory work, and they get all ready, and he says, I really hate to say anything about it right this time, but is it lawful for you to beat a Roman citizen? Oh, my. The book of Acts. The book of Acts. Now, they ain't even talking this among bride people, because bride people don't care if you're a Roman, an Egyptian, or an Ethiopian, or they don't mind the difference to the bride. But you're talking to a Roman soldier. And you're fixing a little several pounds of hide and blood and tissue. So it's fixing to save you a hide skinning. I thank God for the book of Acts. I thank God for the book of Acts. Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? Now watch how he does it. He puts it to him in such a sly way, in the form of a question. Now I'm bride. Is it lawful for you to persecute me if you're a bride? I'm a man of God. Not only am I a man of God, I'm a personal friend of the Lord Jesus. I was thinking about this yesterday, Brother Darrell. It just tore my heart out. I got to thinking about the relationship that God gives to his people. And it just struck me. Me and Jesus are friends. Me and Jesus are friends. I speak to him. He speaks to me. I hear from heaven every week. Sometimes not every day, but I hear from heaven every week. Me and the Lord Jesus are on personal speaking terms. And if you're not tonight, you can before you leave this place. Oh, hallelujah. Oh my, that means more to me than saying I'm an American citizen or I'm a Canadian citizen or whatever more. But you know what? Saying to these Romans, hey, I'm a friend of Jesus. That wouldn't have spared his back. But now you need to use what's at your availability and you're being honest. Hey, is it lawful for you to whip a Roman citizen? Oh my. Watch him now. This guy, are you talking about getting tore up? Now, let me read you this. Cicero says, it is a heinous sin to bind a Roman citizen. It is wickedness to beat him. It is next to parricide to kill him. What shall I say to even crucify him? A Roman citizen could not be crucified. According to the Valerian law, it was not lawful for magistrates to condemn a Roman without hearing the cause and pleading in it. And such condemned persons might appear to the populace, the population of the people. When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, now you got the devil talking for you. The book of Acts. There's nothing wrong with this. Praise the Lord. And yet we're looking for all angels. Oh, God used angels, but here he's using a Roman. A scared one at that. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. If God wants to give us friends and our lawyers and judges and whatever more, who knows, we might need them sometime. Oh, bless God, I don't need none of them. I think you might read the book of Acts. You might change your view a little bit. When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman. Isn't that amazing? Paul didn't say he was a Roman, but he asked a man in the form of a question, is it lawful for you to beat a Roman? But when this man is testifying about him, he says, this man's a Roman. Now, this centurion knew by law, if you confess you were a Roman, if you could not prove that, they would cut your head off. But you know what? They never even asked for any papers. These heathens believed Paul's conversion. They stood there, not understanding what was going on. They took his word that he was a Roman when his own brothers wouldn't take his word that he had been converted. They asked for no proof, no documents, no passport, no this or that or the other. There was something about the man that persuaded them, and they were willing to stand right there with him. Now, you know, for a Roman soldier to lose a prisoner, he could be absolutely tortured and killed for it. Notice when the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, "Take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman." And the chief captain came and said unto him, "Tell me, art thou a Roman?" And he said, "Yea." This ain't bride talk. It's Roman talk. It's Roman talk. Praise the Lord. This is the book of Acts. I've used it many times coming to customs. What have you been doing? Teaching English. The king's English. No, the prophet's English. What are you going into this country for? I'll need it here in a few months when I go to Russia. Preachers ain't allowed. What are you coming in for? I'm a tourist. I want to see the sights. I'm here to see the queen. Oh, but Brother Donnie, no, you don't understand. Russia has Putin. No, I'm not there to see Putin. I'm there to see the queen. I'm there to see the sight, see what my God is doing. You know what you know? Bless God, I'm here to preach the gospel. I'm here to baptize people in Jesus' name. Yeah, you'll be spending the night in jail in Carrollby. They don't tell where they'll take her. So what does the book of Acts teach us? Wisdom, strength, understanding. Place your words when you're among bride talk. When you're among Putin, Putinize. When you're among Russians, talk Russian. Come on, saints. Why? Oh, but then no wonder people have got persecuted for their own ignorance and lay it on the cause of Christ. Let me close with this. And the chief captain answered and said, "With a great sum, I obtained this freedom." And Paul said, "But I was freeborn." So let me close. So being a Roman citizen spared him a whipping. You being a citizen of the kingdom of God will spare you eternal separation. Being the citizen of Rome put him in this special status. Now, either his father bought it, or his grandfather, or his father was in the military. Paul doesn't go into any details. Coming from the city that he come from, some of the emperors would actually give it to the certain cities if they were loyal to Rome. They would make them what they called a free city. They could have their own laws. Wouldn't even have the Praetorian Guard there. They'd make their own laws, and they'd give every person that was in that city the right of Roman citizenship. Being a Roman paid off. Let me tell you something. This world is heading for the awfulest chaos it's ever been. You being a child of God is fixing to pay off. Praise God. The Lord Jesus will not allow you to go through the tribulation period. Why? Your exempt status of your citizenship exempts you from the tribulation period. Your citizenship exempts you from hell. Think of it, children. You imagine Paul was going to get enough beatings the way it was. Why ask for another one that he don't really have to have, Brother Darrell? So he used his citizenship to free him of that. My. May God help us as his people to realize there's many things that the devil puts on us in this life our citizenship would free us from if we'd take our stand on the gospel. Let's stand together. Straightway they departed from him which should have examined him. And the chief captain also was afraid after he knew that he was a Roman, because he had bound him. If that would make a military man afraid because he bound a Roman citizen. Oh, if God could help us to see our position in place, it ought to make demons afraid. Once you realize who you are and you get tired of the devil pushing you around, robbing you of your health and your happiness and your home, your walk with God, they're not afraid of you. They weren't afraid so much of Paul. They was afraid of his citizenship. He ain't afraid of you. He ain't afraid of me. It's our citizenship. Praise God. Don't you love him tonight, saints? The book of Acts, the continuation of the book of Acts. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much. I'm so grateful, Father, that Luke didn't just record miracles and signs. For several Wednesday nights now, we've been looking at this. Not one healing, not one miracle, not one sign have we run across. But yet, it's still the book of Acts. So it helps us to see that you're not only concerned about us having healings and miracles, and you want that for us, but you want also our everyday life to be under the administration of your Spirit. You could have sent a miracle down to Paul. You could have lifted him up from off the steps and carried him away the way you did Philip. Set him over in the desert somewhere and they couldn't find him. But that wasn't the way you chose to do it. You chose to use the anointing on this man and for him to use the tools that was at his disposal. Part of it was knowledge of the law. Part of it was Roman citizenship. Being able to appeal to the people. We see him later as he goes into it, as we'll look into it next week, when he gets among the Sanhedrin and they begin to question him. Paul looks among them and he sees part of them Sadducees and part of them Pharisees. So Paul chooses to go that way and bring up the debate of the resurrection. It was the book of Acts. It would seem to sow discord. But yet, Lord, there's times in the way that you manifest yourself, it just almost takes our minds away. We just try to look and understand. Help us, Father. Help us to realize you are concerned about everyday things of life that are around us. Thank you, Lord, for these pages in the scriptures. Thank you for these examples that are written down. Oh, I know they're not deemed very spiritual. I guarantee you, Paul thanked God over and over and over again that Roman citizenship spared him. Lord, I want to thank you tonight. My heavenly citizenship has spared me so many things. It's fixing to spare me tribulation. It's going to spare me the white throne judgment, but because I am a citizen of the bride city, I can never come before the white throne and be judged. Because I am a citizen of the kingdom of God, I cannot be left in this world in the tribulation period. Blessed and holy he that hath part in the first resurrection, for on such the second death hath no power. My citizenship exempts me from the white throne. My citizenship exempts me from being beaten with many stripes. My citizenship exempts me from going to hell and being lost. It's because I am a citizen and I am freeborn. I didn't join this. I didn't buy into it. Oh, hallelujah. I was freeborn. This man is an example of what Christianity has become. This cost me a great sum. I bought this. I did this. I done that. But Paul said, it didn't cost me nothing. I was freeborn. That's the way we want to be tonight, Lord. Well, I quit this and I quit that and I give up my drink and I quit all. Lord, we don't want to say, no, we didn't do none of that. We met you on the way and you turned us from a heathen to a son of God. You turned us from an absolute heathen dressed like a Jezebel to a daughter of God and set our feet on the right path, and we were led into the street called straight. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Our citizenship has freed us. Praise God. My citizenship entitles me to a new body. Thank you, Lord. A body, glory to God. Glory to God. Like King Theophany. Hallelujah. My citizenship entitles me to belong to a family, the greatest family that's ever lived on the earth, the family of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your word tonight, Lord. We bless your name. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Don't you love him tonight, saints? Don't you appreciate your citizenship? Why don't you just raise your hands there tonight and just, let's just worship him a little bit. For our citizenship. Think, we were outcasts, dogs, Gentiles. These Jews would go nearly insane just at the mention that the message was to go to the Gentiles. That's how they looked down upon us. But now we are citizens of the kingdom of God. Praise God. Praise God. We worship you tonight, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship your name, Lord. Hallelujah. I thank you tonight, Lord God. I'm freeborn. I thank you. I met that same God, that same Lord Jesus in that great pillar of fire, that great light that changed my soul. Thank you, Heavenly Father. It burst me into the kingdom of God of which I have never been the same again. I thank you, Lord Jesus. And that's why Paul could say it. Oh, praise be to God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in us brings that citizenship. And with that citizenship comes privileges and rights and exemptions. A Roman citizen could not be crucified. A Roman citizen could not be perjured. A Roman citizen could not be beaten. A Roman citizen could actually appeal to the populace. And then if they didn't get the decision they wanted, they could appeal to Caesar himself. A Jew had no right to appeal to Caesar. A Bithynian had no right to appeal to Caesar. Glory to God. Being a citizen of the kingdom of God, if demons want to come against us, we won't go just to the pastor. We won't go just to the deacons. We'll appeal our case to the Almighty God himself. Glory to God. And the Almighty God will search back our trace history and our record and say, I find no evidence against him. We will appeal our case, right to the Almighty himself, and he will look the devil in the face and say, he is free. I am the judge and I say he is free. Hallelujah. Our citizenship exempts us from having to listen to the condemnation of the devil. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit, whom the Son has made free, is free indeed. Our citizenship, Lord, makes a way we don't have to be bound by drugs. Our citizenship makes a way we don't have to be bound by sex sins. We don't have to be bound by Laodicea and its coldness. Our citizenship says we can be on fire with God. Our citizenship entitles us to a bride's revival, right in the middle of chaos, right in the middle of darkness. It comes with our citizenship, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, bless your name, Lord. Bless your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. How many heavenly citizens we got in here tonight? Maybe many of you have never traveled internationally. And you go through this line and that line. If you're going to Germany, they'll have a sign there. German citizens this way. Coming back into the States. Coming into Atlanta or New Jersey, New York City, wherever it is. They'll have a line there. U.S. citizens, come here. Everybody else, go over here. Why? It's your citizenship. It's your citizenship. Well, that's what the rapture does. All the bride, line up over here. Everybody else, go through the tribulation period. Glory to God. Why? It's your citizenship. I ain't deserving. I ain't worthy. Of course you ain't. But I'm going to walk in that line because that's what my passport says. Oh, praise be to God. I am a citizen tonight of that great kingdom, and I'll thank God for my citizenship to be a Christian, don't you? Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. How many can say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know those lines Brother Donnie's talking about, the times I've been out of country and coming back into the U.S. and you go through all that with your passport, and more times than not there's a fellow there and you go by, he'll say, "Welcome home." Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's where we're going, friends. We're going home. We're going home. We're going back to where we come from, our citizenship, our genetic makeup. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you love Him tonight? What a privilege it is to be a Christian. What a privilege it is to be a part of what God's doing in this hour. Amen. Did you enjoy the Word of God tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's just bow our heads.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, Father God. Lord, it's just something about your word, Lord. It just squeezes our heart. The love letter from home. Lord, how we thank you tonight, God. To hear the truth, Lord. You said you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. What a privilege it is tonight, Lord. To sit at your table and dine, Lord, upon the vitamins of the Word that'll bring our bodies subject to the Word of God for a body change, Lord. That we would be, as the prophet said, he knew the color of our eyes and our name and the color of our hair. In your thinking, Lord. God, how we thank you tonight for the Word of God that we heard, Lord. And God, may we not be just hearers of the word, but as James said, may we be doers of that which we've heard, Lord. May we take it into our hearts, dear God, and apply it into our lives, Lord. And may we exercise our rights as citizens of the Most High Kingdom, God. May we show, Lord, our passport against the enemy, dear God, when he comes against our children, when he comes against our families. He tries to bring sickness, Lord, and he tries to bring troubles, and he tries to bring distress. May we stand our ground, Lord God, as Shamgar did, Lord, and drive the enemy off of our property, Lord. You gave it to us, God. How we thank you for it tonight, Lord. We ask, dear God, you go with your people as we make the way home, those traveling on up into the mountains, while there's some snow around the area, Lord, if there's the roads, just protect them, take them safely back home, Lord. And we just love you tonight for all that you've done for us and for all that you've given us, dear God. And we just go with your people now as we commit it into your hands for your glory. We ask these things humbly in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you, saints. You're dismissed tonight in the fear of the Lord. Has it been good to be in the house of God? Amen. Amen. Please.
I'm going home. I'm going soon. I'm going where I belong. Oh, I've always been a stranger here, but now I'm going home.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I'm going home. stranger here.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.